I imagine a lot of people in here have made a contract before. If you've gone to the bank to get a loan, you signed a contract. Or you bought a house, or anything like that. You entered into a contract. Got a loan, then you and the bank both made promises to each other. The bank promised to give you X amount of money. You promised to pay back X amount of money every month for so many months. A contract. Of course, those of you that are married, have been married, you entered into a contract with your spouse. Your spouse made promises to you. You made promises to your spouse. It was a contract. The Bible talks about lots of contracts, but it usually or typically uses the term covenant. And that's pretty much what an agreement is. It's an agreement between two parties. Words or testament or will. When we talk about the Old Testament or the New Testament, we're talking about a covenant. We're talking about an agreement. Same thing with a will. A will is a contract. It's a covenant. The Bible talks about and understandings of these covenants has led to a lot of confusion in the religious world. We need to carefully look at in detail these covenants. And our young people will know about the first covenant really well. And that was the covenant God made with Noah. God made a covenant with Noah. He made a contract, an agreement with Noah. This is Genesis chapter 6. Let's read a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. And we're going to read about this covenant God made with Noah. Genesis 6, verse 17. This is God talking to Noah. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, referring to Noah, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. So this covenant included God's family. And to some degree, it included all the animals. And God promised individuals and all those animals on the ark. That was a horrific flood that has never experienced since. And we've seen some pretty horrible floods. But nothing even close to what happened back in those days. So God said, I will preserve you. I'll preserve your family. I'll preserve these animals. And then after the flood was over, He included something in that covenant, in that promise. We find that in Genesis chapter 9. Beginning in verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant, my contract, my agreement with you and with your descendants after you. And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I shall establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off from the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This covenant was unconditional. And that's one thing we need to be very, very clear about. It was unconditional. God said, I will never again flood the earth with water. Period. There was no condition attached to that. I will never do it. So we can be assured that this world will never, ever be covered again in water like it was back in the days of Noah. Why? Because He made a covenant with us. He has promised us in this agreement that He will never, ever do that again. So some covenants are unconditional. But let's look at a covenant that was conditional. God's land covenant with Abraham. We turn over to Genesis chapter 15. A few more pages from where we are, we come to another covenant. Now, He first talked to Abraham back when he was Abram, and told him this same thing back in Genesis chapter 12. But in Genesis chapter 15, we have these words beginning in verse 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And then he mentions all the inhabitants of the land. So from one end to the other, God said, I'm going to give you this land. Sometimes we call it the promised land, the land of Canaan. God said, I'm going to give that to you. But it was based on a condition whether they would keep it or not. No. And this is the important one. Leviticus chapter 26. We're going to begin in verse 27. Remember, the book of Leviticus is about God speaking to the Israelites about what He expected of them, what He would do, what they needed to do. Beginning in verse 27, God says this through Moses. And after all this, if you do not obey me, notice the if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. Let's skip down to verse 31. It says, I will lay your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. Now notice this, I will scatter wait for them to keep that land and not be kicked out of it. They had to do what? They had to obey God and walk according to Him. That was conditional. It was a conditional covenant. What happens if we don't turn in our monthly payment on our house or our car loan? Does anyone notice? Oh, yeah. They definitely will notice. Because we're not keeping our end of the bargain. Well, that's what God was telling Israel here. You've got to keep your end of the bargain if you want to keep this land. You have to do one thing. You have to continue to obey me. Because He says, if you don't, then I'm going to kick you out of the land. Well, we look at They went after false gods. They started worshiping foreign gods. They rebelled. They didn't walk according. So what did God do? Well, He sent the Assyrians to take captive the 10 northern tribes, and then He sent the Babylonians to take captive the 2 southern tribes. They were kicked out of their land. Why? Because they didn't obey God. That was a conditional covenant. It was conditional. Not like the covenant He made with Noah. God said with Noah, period, I will never, ever flood the earth with water again. Period. There was no condition attached. There was a condition attached with this one, the land promise. And many people still think that God's going to give Israel back. That He's not. That was a conditional promise. It was done away with now. God doesn't have a special ethnic group anymore. He doesn't have a special race anymore. That was a conditional covenant. But there was another covenant He made with Abraham that He was unconditional. One that affects every single one of us in this room. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we're first of all going to read verse 18. Genesis 22, verse 18. This is a different covenant, a promise, a different agreement than He made with Abraham. Verse 18, God tells Abraham, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed My voice." What did Abraham do? Remember, God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans, out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and what did He tell him to do? Pack up your bags and move. Abraham did. Abraham obeyed God. God knew he would do that. God decided through Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through his seed. Through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. We go back to Genesis 17, and I want us to notice a little more about this promise, this covenant that He makes with Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verse 4. God is talking to him and He says, "As for Me, behold, My covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." A father of many nations. "And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish My covenant between Me and you and your descendants after you and their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you." This covenant was going to be an everlasting covenant. God said through this seed, He was going to bless all nations. Well, how did that happen? It's very easy to see. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 explains how this occurred. And we're going to begin reading in verse 15, and it's a very important section. Galatians 3, verses 15 and 16. Paul, by inspiration, talking to Christians. He says in verse 15, man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Another change. Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, "And to me, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is." There's how the promise was fulfilled. So going all the way back to Genesis, God said, in your seed all nations shall be blessed. How? Because through the seed of Abraham, Christ was going to come. Christ was the descendant of Abraham. This was unconditional. God was going to send Jesus through the seed of Abraham, period. That was God's plan. He knew what kind of person Abraham was. So He chose Abraham that through him the Messiah would come. And of course that's exactly what happened. The fourth covenant was one we read about in the Old Testament. Sometimes we call the Old Covenant the Old Testament. It was a will. We find this, first of all, in Exodus 34. Again, a very important covenant. Exodus 34, we're going to first read verse 10, and then move to 7. Exodus 34, verse 10. This is my people. And he says, Exodus 34, verse 10, behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. It says, I'm going to make a covenant. We turn to verse 27 of that same chapter, and it says, the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I've made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. There we have the beginning of this covenant. Sometimes we call it the law of Moses because it came through Moses. It began there on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. God would expand upon the Ten Commandments. We read about that in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. But this covenant was to whom? Israel, he said. You and I were never given that covenant. We were never a part of that covenant in any way, shape, or form. It wasn't an agreement between you and God. It wasn't an agreement between myself and God. It was an agreement, a contract, a covenant only between God and the nation of Israel. It wasn't for anyone else. It was sealed with the sprinkling of blood. Exodus 24, going back a few pages. Verse 8, we see how this covenant was sealed. We seal covenants today with our signatures. Then Exodus 24, verse 8 was sealed differently. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. He had just took the book of the covenant and read to them. So again, what we call the law of Moses was this covenant. And it was confirmed, it was ratified with blood. Again, we ratify covenants today by putting our signatures. Like if we get a loan at the bank signs it and we sign it. It ratifies it. Then it was ratified with blood sprinkled on it. The blood of a sacrificed animal. But remember, it was given only to the children of Israel, no one else. This covenant was also conditional. In Exodus 19, God makes this very plain to His people. Exodus 19, verse 5. God speaking to the children of Israel, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And keep my covenant. It was conditional. But it was also only temporary. The law of Moses never, ever meant to last until the end of time. It was never meant to be. In Jeremiah chapter 31, God makes this very clear. Jeremiah 31, we're going to begin reading in verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Again, a very important text dealing with the law of Moses. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So even in the days of Jeremiah, even in those days, which was about 600 years before the time of Christ, God was saying, this covenant that I had made with Israel through Moses that had lasted for hundreds of years was a covenant that was going to come to an end. Because God said, I'm going to make a new covenant. And not only is it going to be a new covenant, it's going to be a different type of covenant. That covenant with Moses and the children of Israel, people were born into it. If you were born an Israelite, you were part of the covenant. But he says this new covenant is going to be different. You're going to have to be taught about God first. You're going to be taught about God and taught about His ways and taught about what God wants, and then you choose to enter that. So it was a temporary covenant. And of course, that leads us to the last covenant God has made with His people. And it's made with Jew and Gentile. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about this covenant and says this about to whom it's given. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. Paul writes, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You Gentiles were not part of that covenant that he calls the covenant of promise. And they weren't. It was just to the Jews, just to the people of Israel. But he said, now things are different. Now everybody is brought together in the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile. It makes no difference. Skipping down to verse 19, he said, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. In the past, you weren't part of the covenant. Now you are. Now it's everybody. And this covenant through Christ. Covenant. He's that one that brought it to us. And it's for every single one. Going back to Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes to those Christians in verse 26, he says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now notice verse 29 that ties it all together. And if you are Christ, then you are able to see heirs according to this. So it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. When God told Abram, he was still Abram at that time, In your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So if we're Christ, if as he says, we've been baptized into Christ, then we're Abraham's seed and we're children of the promise. We're heirs of the promise. One and everyone, regardless, as he says, their background, their ethnic background. Like those Pentecost, if they believe and are baptized, then you're Abraham's seed. You're heirs according to the promise. A promise that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. But just like those other covenants, this one was conditional. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to all those who are far off. So again, it's conditional. This last covenant is the one we need to be concerned about. And you might need this